My first guest of the Days on the Line, he is Wayne Duvenage. He is Chief Executive Officer of OUTA, that's the organization undoing tax abuse. And he is reportedly, well, at least Newsday is reporting him as having made one hell of an explosive claim. It's described the ANC as the most corrupt political party in the world. To get to the bottom of that comment, he is with me on the line. Wayne Duvenage, thank you for chatting to me on Chai FM.
Nice to be with you. Thanks.
Wayne, that's a hell of an explosive claim, actually. What pushed you to that conclusion, that unequivocal conclusion?
Well, pretty much a figure of speech, but I guess if there was an evaluation of it, I'm probably not going to be too far out. If not the most corrupt, right up there with one of the most corrupt entities in the democratic world of political parties. So we're not talking Russia here and China, and we're talking about democracies that are supposed to operate in an environment where the public are being served by their government in the best manner possible. And all reports that we are seeing, and from Zondo's report now coming out at Madlanga, and everything that we see at ARTA, we have a government that is losing control more and more every day. It's not getting better.
Yeah.
And corruption is a central theme to so much of why service delivery is failing. And I believe the ANC has lost control. It has been a party that has benefited from patronage and from deals that have been taking place. And I don't think it knows how much it is losing in its share that it used to get out of the power of corruption in this country, because it is so rife and is being practiced by almost all people within the supply chains of government expenditure in ANC-run municipalities and departments. It's absolutely out of control.
You kind of got to wonder what the psychology is, because you would have thought, don't kill the goose that's laying the golden egg. You know, I'm on a good ride. Let's keep the ride going. Let's at least deliver the absolute minimum that we need to. But they appear to have even lost the plot in that regard. They just seem, delivery seems to be just not something of any importance whatsoever. You quoted in that article of saying that municipalities were better run 15 years ago than they are now. How do we account for that? What's changed structurally?
Well, I think, you know, what we did was some analysis on what were municipalities earning revenue-wise 15 years ago and what they're earning now. And they've gone up ahead of inflation by about 2.5%, and that is a big increase compounded over time. If you told any business, you know, we're going to give you this increase over the next 15 years, year on year. And then if you just go back and see how were municipalities performing then, there was no debt to Eskom, no debt to the water boards, lights were working, roads were being paved, infrastructure maintained. So they really have gone backwards on all fronts. And I think to answer to your question, is what you see happening is that there's it actually comes down to a lack of accountability and leadership. And when you have a cadre deployment program where everybody higher up the chain is pointing to who should be appointed into various leadership positions and who not, it's very difficult. And if it's not somebody else telling you, then you have the say. I can tell you that the cronyism and the nepotism that takes place amongst ANC, in the cadre deployment process, is one where it's so difficult to hold to account people that you favor, that are your family members, your friends, or are appointed by people above you. It's almost impossible, certainly that we've seen in the behavior that's been reflected in ANC's conduct, to hold people to account. And so you have this mediocrity. You have people looking away when performance targets are not being achieved and reached. We see it in the Auditor General's reports. Again, we met with her today, and she'll be presenting to Parliament tomorrow. Municipalities are not improving year on year. It's the same old nonsense, and material irregularities just go unaccounted for. So, you know, why? It's, you know, I guess the writing is on the wall for a party that is in decline, the eye in the local government space is on the exit door for many of them in 4 months' time. And, you know, why try and fix it when you can plunder for the next 4 months? I think that's part of the problem we have right now. And I think the same thing might be happening at the provincial and national government level, where there's 2.5 years left and they are in a serious state.
That's a brilliant segue to my next question, which was this. Is there a point at which a system becomes so utterly and totally compromised that reform from within is just no longer possible? Do you reckon that's where we are now?
Look, I never want to say it's never possible. It just gets harder and harder to implement and correct. The hole gets deeper. You know, people have been saying comments like, you know, well, Joburg is really broken. It's never going to be fixed. But I always liken a response to that is I've seen cities, we've all seen them in the history of war, cities decimated and they get rebuilt. They take time, a lot of money, and we can do that. It's not completely broken, but it's getting harder and harder to fix. And we're going to have to borrow more money to get out of this. So it's going to get worse before it gets better, but it is doable, but certainly not going to be doable under the current people who are in charge. So hopefully we have the necessary change, certainly in cities like Johannesburg and many municipalities in 4 months' time.
You know, when I sit here and I have these sort of discussions pretty much on a daily basis, week after week after week, and the word that keeps on coming up that I hear all the time is trust deficit. And we discuss issues like NHI, which under normal circumstances in a functional government, I mean, what's wrong with wanting to provide medical care to the weakest in society or to everybody in society? But when there's a trust deficit, then everything suddenly becomes a future enormous amount of money to plunder. And I'm just thinking, you know, we've had the arms deal, Nkandla, COVID-19 funds. I mean, every time there is an opportunity to plunder, that's what happens. And I just wondered, do you think the South African public has just now become used to it and this is what we expect? Have we come numb to this issue of plundering and corruption?
Well, we are, and that's the danger. We are becoming a bit complacent. We're becoming fatigued, you know, corruption fatigued, and we're almost accepting this as our plight, and this is the way it's going to be to do business in this country, and we must never allow that to happen. We cannot allow and tolerate mediocrity and corruption as the way things should be. So we got to be very careful not to become fatigued by this. And I know it's difficult. I know sometimes the defense mechanism for sanity is to switch off and just look away, but we can't. We just cannot. And that's why organizations like ours exist. We have to hold this fort while, you know, the change that is needed will come. I believe it will come. 2029, from a national point of view, has to be our turning point. You know, democracy and the vote and the new political dispensation is the silver bullet. And while that's happening, civil society's got to hold the fort, and it gets tougher and tougher, but we just cannot relent.
We carry such incredible baggage from our history. Probably incomparable to so many other countries dealing with similar type of issues. I'm just thinking of an interchange I had with somebody last week, a very smart, highly educated, happened to be black woman, and we're talking about where the vote could possibly go and who could vote for whom. And she said to me, in all sincerity, she could never consider giving a vote to a party like the DA because they will reintroduce apartheid. And I just thought that comes from such a place of hurt. Where does one even arrive at a conclusion like that? And yet, that's the historical reality. That's the thing we have to face up to. And the ANC, for all its failures, is the party of liberation. It brought liberation to how many millions of black people in this country? And you just wonder, well, maybe we're actually far from the bottom.
Yeah, look, that is the reality of so many. They cannot bring themselves to vote for a party that puts forward a white male presidential candidate. And I get that, the psychology of that. I don't buy the fact that the DA is going to take us back to apartheid. Certainly has different policies to the ANC. It's not the Liberation Party, but it is the party that is liberating bad financial management in municipalities where they take over. And that's the lens through which people need to start looking at the situation. So if they're, for instance, that individual lives in Joburg and they have water shedding and load shedding coming and sewage running down their streets, but they're happy to keep voting for the same party that keeps that status quo, well, then I would question, you know, sometimes you've got to vote for the least bad and unpack what is right, maybe from a national point of view. And this is where we are seeing the change. From a national point of view, the position may be that way for the individual, but from a local government point of view, one needs to start changing one's mindset in that area, because this is where you live. This is your assets that are being diminished, your homes and that, and your livelihoods in these towns where they're being decimated. And if you feel that way still, well, then don't moan when you get a destroyed municipality for another 5 years. I think there's a lot to be unpacked in the political dynamics, but one thing is for sure. The door is wide open for an entity that can pick up the ANC's votes, which the DA can't pick up. You know, are they going to push the dial beyond the 30-35% of the next national elections? I don't think so. And if they can't, and people are just abstaining from voting for the ANC, and they don't want to go to MK or EFF, and you've got this low voter turnout, the question is who's going to pick up those votes and make the change and coalesce with somebody like the DA to bring about the change we need.
Wayne Duvenage, we're going to leave it there. Thank you so much for chatting to us on Chai FM. Always so unbelievably instructive chatting to you.